I would like to call the meeting to order.
Hi.
How's everybody today? I would like a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
And a motion to approve the meeting from last, I mean the minutes from last meeting.
I motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
At this moment, we open up the floor to public comments. Is there anybody that has a public comment at this moment? At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 2 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. You guys have to help me because I don't know.
Moving on.
We're moving on to old business. We have the progress and financial reports update. Is that from you, Donna?
Yes, I didn't include them, the chart, in this particular packet because you just got it in some progress reports and it was too late to put them into the packet, so you'll get the next folder.
I
got some progress and final reports that came in.
Do you have any questions?
No. So, the El Sol Neighborhood Educational Center, you said
that's number two, that's the funding request. But number one, which is the progress and final reports update, I didn't include that in the packet because we didn't have any that came in time, but we did get some now in for training Erica and Megan on how to download them and create them. So, the next program committee meeting, that chart will be updated with some new progress reports and final reports.
Okay.
So moving on to funding requests, does anybody have a question about any of the funding requests?
Well, let's start with Coachella Parks and Recreation. Have they been notified?
No, if you see the blue on the bottom, I called them and that there was a delay, so they probably will be notified up to March.
Okay.
Does that mean that our funding won't go through?
It's contingent on that, yes.
I have a question about the Loma Linda Children's University help. Are they here?
No, this is the Healthy Families Foundation.
Okay.
Under the foundation grants.
It's a comment and a question. So I live a mile away from the Loma Linda Children's University Clinic in Indio. I haven't received any information about the local services. There are 3 elementary schools in close proximity to this clinic. I'd like to know about their communications plan to the immediate surrounding communities, including outreach to apartment complexes and second homes. 15,000 annual visits now, but needing to reach 18,000 visits, it's a very wide gap to fill. So I'm just curious what the strategy will be to communicate to people, especially those in close proximity.
Okay.
And I think it might be even premature for us to have any conversation about the funding request. We're just providing information to the members of the committee that they have submitted a letter of intent. The staff is doing the homework regarding what their capacity is, what their ask is, what their sustainability is, whether it is a good or bad investment for the district to be supporting what they're trying to do, and whether they're meeting the needs of our community. So it's very preliminary at this time. It's just an information for you to know that they submitted an LOI.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Well, and the district and the foundation has a history of providing startup funds, even when programs are in the red. Desert Healthcare or Desert Hot Springs and that clinic that we funded at startup costs. I'm sure that Donna can give us other instances that startup costs are expensive to get going, and what we do is that we help people start up, and then they get to break even, and they don't need us anymore. So that's the premise of that.
I guess I have a comment. As I was going through this, one of the things that comes up is, like, if you're going to be denied by someone grant funding, it should be by the Desert Healthcare District. I think you telling people where they can go and get money from or other sources of funding really opens the door sometimes to larger funding for some of these folks. So I appreciate that you're providing referrals as something that we do. I think that's a very important part of a funder's job, like making sure that you're connecting your resources to the local community, and I think you do a really great job through this process. That's something that I've noticed in past notes and more specifically now. So now that I'm sitting here, I figured I'd publicly say thank you for making sure that the referral process is part of the work that you do.
Mm-hmm. My other question was that we budget, $4 million a year plus minus to local nonprofits, and we're into month 8 of our fiscal year. And just wondering where we are in terms of attracting or inviting other nonprofits to apply for grants.
Maybe 2019 we cannot invite, we can't solicit. Mm-hmm. So we have, when we do get phone calls or emails, mm-hmm. we tell them to start the process with a letter of interest,
and
then from there we can begin the communication. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that we can't solicit, but we can certainly educate. We can make a public notice that the district has X dollars fund to donate to community nonprofits, and these are our priorities. I mean, even an ad in the newspaper, that wouldn't be soliciting, that would be educating. There's a difference.
I think it kind of gets gray, though, in between there, because sometimes it can seem like you're soliciting, and you're not, you know? But I think they're doing it on the Desert Healthcare website. Anybody
the grant payment schedule is on there that does show the grant balance and stuff in the fund. Mm-hmm. The focus areas are there with the strategic plan.
Do you know offhand what the grant balance is?
I don't.
Approximately?
We usually have a grant payment schedule in here, but I guess we can put that in there. So.
Just ballpark? Maybe we could check with Jeff, our attorney for the district, and find out, you know, what the gray area is, what's allowable. You know, we can educate the public in terms of what we do, and this is the process to apply.
I believe that information is provided in our website.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are organizations that are interested in applying, they can go to the website,
mm-hmm.
and the website describes how the funds are made available.
I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying to get the word out to the community somehow that this is available. Last fiscal year we left money in our grant budget.
And I think that's a very good conversation we should bring to the board about what would be the right mechanisms to make funds available in a way that are responsive to the mission of the organization and to the strategic directions that we impress through the strategic plan. Typically, what foundations do and other funders in the public sectors do is they have requests for proposals processes, and we allocate funds, let's say, for a specific portfolio. Mm-hmm. If it is for behavioral health, you have mm-hmm. portfolio of behavioral health, and then request for proposals mm-hmm. that is responsive mm-hmm. to that portfolio. And mm-hmm. we say, we're looking for applicants that can support this,
exactly.
and this, and this, and this mm-hmm. activities. Mm-hmm. So I think that that is a very good conversation to mm-hmm. to have with the board mm-hmm. And seek clarity and direction mm-hmm. on how we can best implement that level of transparency mm-hmm. In our organization.
I would just like to add a comment that in addition to transparency, we're spending taxpayer dollars. The taxpayers who contribute that, especially where I live and where I represent, are largely not year-round people, and it's nice to know we've also got a charge of having a return on investment. So if we've got $4 million that we're spending in a year, we want to show 4, 5, 8, 10, however many million dollars of either improved cost effectiveness, improved access, or savings. And a lot of that being examples like keeping people out of the emergency room mm-hmm. when we can provide other services that are more cost effective and that are at the site and time of service needed. So I share my fellow members' concern that we need to have the transparency, also some frequency of presenting this. Because if we're charged with saving money and being cost effective, and we're spending $1 million out of four, we're not going to have a very large return on investment. Not to say that every penny should be spent, but we also need to have that mechanism by which opportunities are identified, and those people who would be needing these opportunities are engaged as to how that happens, because so many of the nonprofits do not have the means and mechanisms to even understand the RFP process, the LOI mm-hmm. process, et cetera. So, you know, we have to be somewhat of an enabler, especially since we're taking the hard-earned money of our taxpayers. This isn't some sacred private funding. This is public funding that is being reallocated to the ways we can best determine it.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have a comment or question?
So we'll move on to community health needs assessment update.
On the community health needs assessment, the update that I have is that we have another organization that is joining the efforts financially. That's First Five Riverside. They contributed with another $25,000, so we have $100,000 commitment from other organizations that are supporting the community health needs assessment. Mm-hmm. We're very pleased with that, and we're going to have our first meeting of the steering committee on January 19th, and that is the steering committee is comprised by representatives. I mean, February. I'm 1 month behind. I cannot believe it's February already. So we are going to have the California Endowment, the RMC, First Five Riverside, IEHP, Riverside Health Services, Public Health and Mental Health, and UCR School of Medicine. That's going to be our first meeting.
Thank you. I know that when this was brought up to the strategic committee, like that was one of the conversations that we had asked, that all those people come together, you have conversations with them, you ask them to support this. Thank you so much for like following through with, at least on the strategic committee, right? One of the first things that we had asked for that to happen was just conversation across the board with all those people and some buy-in. So thank you. Good job. It's a big deal.
Okay, is there any new business at this time? Any committee member comments? And I think we're going to adjourn the program committee meeting. Just wait a time. Do I say a time? Or
just it's a motion to adjourn.
Oh.
I've moved to we adjourn.
I second.
The meeting is adjourned.
All
in favor?
Aye.
No one.
Can I open up the foundation?
Yes. Yeah. call to order the foundation meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes for January 14th meeting?
So moved.
I second.
All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Does anybody have any public comment? So we'll move on to new business. The consideration to approve grant 1041 for Healthy Families Foundations.
Okay, this is a $50,000 request in response to our Eastern Coachella Valley RFP funding request, and Healthy Families Foundation, which is a division of the JFK Memorial Foundation, not affiliated with JFK Hospital, is applying for a safe care program, which is an evidence-based program. They have a significant need of families waiting, especially in the East Valley, for a specific caregiver to work with them, a case manager. And so they are here in case anybody has any questions to ask. Susan Francis is the CEO, and she's brought along Angela
and
Debbie. Yes, I'm sorry.
I have a question, and it's not for them, it's for the board. I mean, for the
staff.
Will the money be coming out of our Eastern Coachella Valley fund, or will it be coming out of the Behavioral Health Initiative Fund? Because I see that they put it under community health focus areas under primary care and behavioral health access.
Correct. If you recall, we did issue that RFP. We had the $300,000 that's been allocated every year. That was carried over to next year. We had $525,000. And the RFP was to nonprofits that serve residents of the Eastern Coachella Valley for core operating support specific to access to primary care and behavioral health care. So we come out of that one particular unrestricted pot that the board has set aside.
Of the $300,000, right? Plus whatever's left over.
Right.
And do you know the amount that's left over at this time?
I'm going to say it's probably 200 still.
200,000.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
I had questions about the best practices that were described in the grant application. They mentioned some organization that they used as best practices, and I'm just wondering if there are any other organizations that use that instrument, and how effective is it?
We are the only Safe Care program.
Yes.
Yes, it's an evidence-based curriculum structure. We go out to the home, we have a manual, and there's a coach, there's a delegate of the program. But there isn't any other agency out here using it other than a DPSS-funded agency who's out based out in Riverside, I believe. But no, there's no other agency that uses it.
Okay.
Is that your question?
Right. And the measurement of how you measure the effectiveness of it. Could you describe that in a little bit more detail?
It's Georgia State, and it's an evidence-based program. Georgia State runs that through the National Safe Care Training Research Department that they have. We get trained by them. And then they, once that happens, then we go by the program. There's a coach who I was going to be the coach, go out to the families and with coach the safe care provider. And there's a form that we fill out, making sure that we're following the steps, and then it's uploaded onto their website. And consistently monthly, depending on what stage they're at, we're consistently coaching them.
And how many, or what percentage approximately do you have of families that are referred by children's services, or do you get referral from the court?
We do. It usually comes as a self-referral. The family's told, and then they call themselves. So if it's self-referral, I'm not sure. Right now, most of our participants are coming from the Indian WIC office.
From where?
India WIC office.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We do have some that are court ordered, but it's a small amount right now because, right now I guess we're just getting open India WIC office.
Mm-hmm.
But we do get them from court ordered or from Department of Social
mm-hmm.
Services as well. We have a connection with them because we work with the social workers in the past. And so we go out to their meetings and we offer the services to their families.
And mm-hmm. And are you trained on how to recognize child abuse?
Yes. Yes, we need to have a yearly training, as well as any new staff that comes on needs to take the training as well.
And I know that one program that I'm familiar with teaches children, especially Hispanic children, on reading, to teach the families to read with their children. Is that something you do also?
In the parent-child interaction module, we take a book with us and we stress about the reading. Part of the Safe Care curriculum is to make sure that we're using activities with the families that are for literacy or ready for school. So yes, we do that.
I know that you do home visits. Is this a practice that you recognize?
We do our home visits different. We're patient-centered, so it's kind of a different program. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They do more working with the families to help them, teach them how to advocate. We also teach them how to advocate, but based on their health goals.
Does anybody else have a question?
Just would like to hear some anecdotal evidence of the success of this program.
I don't know if we have time. You want to know what parents are saying? Or we have
what
a survey.
I have in front of me, the proposal formatted, and it's interesting and impressive, but it would be helpful to hear some anecdotal evidence from your experience of this.
Right.
Program.
We have surveys that we have families fill out after every module. There's six sessions for every module, so there's health and there's safety and parent-child interaction. Usually what we hear is, when it comes to the parent-child interaction, is that their communication has improved with their children. The communication has become positive. They're able to work with the children because usually the thing is, it's almost like I can't control my child, or I can't, have them to behave. But we explain that it's the parent who needs to change a behavior before the child can change the behavior. So then at the end, they're just excited how the child is listening more. If there are any assessments that we do that come up with maybe the child needing extra services or referrals, then we do that. And so they feel appreciative that there was somebody there to help them through that. When it comes to the safety, we say help safe with the home. And there's some things that parents usually think, I already know that. But putting the safety locks on their to-do list to buy some is not one of the things. It's not private. It's food or something else. So us taking the kids, they're able to put them in, make sure that the children are safe, and being able to identify those things when they move on, because sometimes they're not in the same place, knowing there for a little bit. So being able to take those skills and use them for their next home is what they say, is what they appreciate. For the health, again, mostly fathers like that one because the moms are too, but the fathers, because now mom's not in the home, what do? My child's sick. There's a manual they can use to based on the symptoms to be able to either identify to call the doctor, go to the emergency room, or care for them at home. And then actually setting them up and linking them to a doctor or insurance has helped.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also show them what to do in case of an emergency, like CPR or the in case the child eats something that they're not supposed to eat, the EpiPen?
Yes, so in the health, we cover that in the safety. The thing is that we don't show CPR, we don't do it in CPR. We tell them they can get, you know, CPR for low cost if they were interested, but mostly it's calling 911 or going to the emergency room or calling the poison control. We give them the poison control number.
How are your how do people get referred to you? I know you say they come from WIC, but how are these families identified?
So Farmers and Nature has sent us families. I'm out in the community. We're all out in the community.
Okay.
So it's either word of mouth. Mm-hmm. We're at every WIC that we can be at. Today we're at Cathedral City when they have their health fairs.
Mm-hmm.
So they have families come through, and so we offer them full services. And really, the parents say, can my friend come in? Also, DPSS, like I said, we have a close relationship with the Indio CPS office, and they invite us to their CFTs, which are the child family team decision making meetings. And so, when they feel like a family can benefit from the program, they invite us to. So, the social workers are aware of the program because we have a past history with them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And local agencies.
Are all of your interventions in a single family setting, or are there any in which there might be a group of folks, let's say, with a common issue of three-year-olds or any groups? Because it seems that with putting 18 to 30 hours of professional services into each, that there would be a significant economy and a shared learning experience achieved by having some groups. And if you've got input, for instance, if the referrals come from a school or a preschool, it might seem to be a more effective way to use the resources in group settings. Is that part of it?
SafeCare is structured to be in-home working with the family. You're in there, if their environment, they are comfortable and they feel, you know, they get to have that one-on-one specific tailored to their family's needs. So that's why SafeCare works. There is, if the family feels, or like if we see through an assessment that the family maybe can benefit from a group setting because they feel alone or they want some commonality between families, then we refer them to different groups. There is success in groups. We have a differential response where we do these classes because of that, so they can network and, you know, have that. But SafeCare is tailored just for in-home. We are able to do sometimes if a family is having a crisis, do somewhere outside the home, but that's that's not common. It's in the home.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you're funded by First Five Riverside, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
First
Five. And they're, we had all of their eight of them?
Yeah, there's 10 of us.
10?
Yeah.
10. All 10 of the case managers at our office on Friday to do CBM training and also provide them with user profiles for each of their case managers, so they're also able to track and monitor, you know, and make notes on each single case. And also we activated, you know, the link for online referrals through CBLink, so that would be another avenue where families will be able to learn about the program and do an automatic referral through our CBHIP portal.
Which we're excited, yeah, we're really excited about that. We all are excited about that because it's going to make it easier for when we refer families out and see if they have access services.
Great job.
Do I hear a motion to approve?
I motion to approve.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. More meetings next up.
At this time, we hear information on the homeless initiative update.
I really wouldn't have any new updates. Our meeting is next week. So.
Yeah. So, but the last meeting did explain the subcommittee.
Yeah.
They know what we are referring
Yes, the next meeting is next week, so we haven't had any new development.
Okay. And at this moment, we take committee member comments. Does anybody have a comment?
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to get a CV HIP update at the next, I don't know if this is the place or the board meeting is the place, but I think it's been a minute since I've seen it in the board packet, so I'd be curious.
What exactly would you like?
Usage, and then I know we were transitioning from servers, I think, from
providers.
Providers, thank you. Mm-hmm. So how that's going as well, if it was like accomplished, if we did it. Yeah. I think that's it. If people are using it, how many people are using it. I think in some reports you had also shared like what people are searching for the most. I'd be interested in that as well.
I had a question. I looked on the district website, and for district grant expenses, it's budgeted $1.75 million in our grant budget, and it showed that we had a balance of $1.132 million, or almost $1.13 million, showing about $620,000 left in that fund. And I'm on the foundation website, and I don't see a major grant budget. Well, yeah, I do. It says $124,000, but that's out of what the district is putting in, or what the foundation is putting in. So I guess my question is that, knowing that in Sacramento, other healthcare districts are under intense scrutiny about our reason for being, and some districts do not operate hospitals, and there was recommendations by the state organization that oversees district healthcare districts that they disband. And I'm just, I want to be conscious of the fact that we are transparent about the funds that we receive and the amount we grant, and how that's going, and I think I've asked every year that I've been on this board, what is our percentage overhead cost? That's always a key indicator for any nonprofit organization. You know, are we 10% overhead, 20% overhead? What's that ratio? So I'm asking that again. Thank you.
Somebody make a motion. Do I make the motion for adjourn? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So at this time, I would like to hear a motion to approve, to adjourn. Sorry. All in favor, say aye.
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 Good job.
Good job.
I didn't even know.
We got through it.